say. If you afraid, then come along with me. And I know what you came here to do. Now, let me see you get loose. Going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio. This is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Good afternoon, everybody. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. Good to be back with you today after a couple days off. Happy to be back in the saddle. A lot to talk about here on this Mock Draft Wednesday. Mel Kiper's Mock Draft 2.0 is out. We will certainly talk about that in great detail. We'll also ask the question, are either the top two quarterbacks in the draft worth moving up for and snagging? Probably have to go to number six to get Mariota, probably further to get Winston, probably all the way to number one, as you are hearing reports coming out today from Tampa that Lovie Smith prefers Winston to Marcus Mariota. No surprise there. Some cuts coming in from around the NFL as the Colts have released Laron Landry amongst a couple other players. Wow. Landry had signed a four-year, $24 million deal with $14 million guaranteed in March of 2013. Just goes to show, once again, free agency and big spending, typically not the way to go when you want to build your team. It is through the draft. That's why we're talking draft. We got the Mel Kiper one. And also at 1:30, Lance Zierlein from NFL.com, who just posted his first mock draft, will be with us at 1:30 to talk about that. But, Matt, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, man. And I think that for the most part, as we get into more and more mock drafts, we've seen McShay's. We're getting Kiper 2.0. As you said, the gentleman later in the show from NFL.com. There's a consensus coming around when it comes to the Cleveland Browns. And I think it's very similar to some of the local analysts, yourself, myself, and some of the other personalities that we get on the air to discuss the Cleveland Browns situation when it comes to 12-19 overall. And in some cases, a lot of people are leaning towards what most people feel besides the quarterback position, which we might not necessarily be able to meet in that first round unless we significantly package a deal to move up inside the top five or six picks. Wide receiver and defensive line, two positions that I know you concur are would be great additions to the Cleveland Browns roster.
And listen, these all see wide receiver, defensive line. That has kind of been the path. You've seen some people go defensive line, offensive line, but for the most part, wide receiver and D-line seem to be the two positions the Browns will attack. And I've heard many people think the Browns will attack them not only in the draft, but also in free agency as well. There are very good crop of free agent wide receivers. It'll be interesting to see how many of them actually truly are free agents when it's all said and done. I don't know if it will be a huge number, but certainly that's a position that the Browns have to address, because it doesn't matter if they bring back Brian Hoyer, if they go for a Mike Glennon via trade, if they bring in a Mark Sanchez, a Jake Locker, Sam Bradford, if he doesn't restructure his deal in St. Louis, Nick Foles via trade, whoever the quarterback is, you got to have some talent. Now, maybe Tom Brady's good enough to win without wide receiver talent, but the majority of quarterbacks in the NFL, you need some kind of talent to help the quarterback out. And right now, the Browns don't have that at wide receiver with Josh Gordon suspended. At Miles Austin is a free agent. Right now, the top receivers you have on your roster are Andrew Hawkins, Taylor Gabriel, and Travis Benjamin. You need to bring some size to this group. You need to bring some athleticism to this group. And I think that the Browns have to address it. I think they will do that. And I think it will be very, very important. Now, our guy P. Myers Golf makes a good point. He says, people are underestimating Trader Ray. He's going to move out of 12 and get more picks. He kills the later rounds. It's important to kill the later rounds. He may move out of 12. I think that's possible. But at the same time, trading down, if the guy that you wanted to get at 12 is going to be there for you at 16, 18 and pick up an extra pick, that's a great thing to do.
Yes, it is.
It is certainly the Patriot way. But we got to kill the first round this year. I think that's imperative.
It is. And I know as I've talked, as we've gotten into more mock drafts and been talking free agency, I just know that with, as I've called it, swinging and missing last year up to this point in the first round with Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel, and really having not a whole lot to show for it between a rushing touchdown from Johnny Manziel and one pick six by Justin Gilbert, that's about it. And we hope that they mature and grow up, as Jim Donovan and I talked about, that we seem to reference a lot of growing up needs to happen on this Cleveland Browns roster to make them the type of team that we believe they can be. But you're absolutely right. I was one to kind of snap back at Todd McShay when he had us taking Cummings who was a project guard, I believe, and also Devin Funchess from Michigan as a hybrid type of guy. We need to go out and get home runs. And like I said, is
Funchess could be all right.
I'm not saying he'd be all right, but it's like it's a pro. Is he an X? Is he a tight end? Is he this? We could do this with him, but it's like I want a guy that we know is going to be in some cases a week one contributor, and he may be that. But I'd love to have his role defined and be able to understand what his expectations are in the first round. And, you know, to go back into your comments when you referenced Tom Brady being able to do with less than superior talent, I think in some cases why the Patriots are so successful in what they do is a lot of it has to do with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and the low turnover that they have there in their you know, from the top down in Robert Kraft and below. But I think when a free agent does come there, they succumb to that Patriot way, because when they succumb to that Patriot way, they know that equals wins, you know, and that winning football. And I think at a certain point in your career, when you've made money, when you've maybe gotten to a second contract and you haven't had a lot of success with the teams that you've been with, winning takes over. And you're securing a legacy at the best of your position, but you'd love to tag that with your overall record or the number of division titles, conference titles, and potentially Super Bowls or Super Bowl titles, as we saw a guy like Darrelle Revis do. You know, not saying he took less money, but he succumbed to the notoriety that there was there in New York, and also too, you know, when being the guy in Tampa to go play within the Patriot way. And his name wasn't mentioned a lot because he was just there quietly doing his job as a silent assassin.
No, and you're exactly right about that. Something that's interesting to think about, too, in this draft when we are talking about wide receivers, you're talking about free agents, et cetera. What are you going to do at wide receiver? One of our listeners says, you know, do you think Big Bad John 63, do you think Farmer's position on wide receivers would prevent free agent quarterbacks from signing here? I believe we'll need to trade for a decent one. And how do you think that factors in? If you're a free agent quarterback and right now there is uncertainty there, are you waiting to see the Browns make a move at wide receiver? Because no quarterback wants to come into a situation where they don't feel like they have the weapons to succeed.
No, you're right. And I think it causes a little bit of commotion when it comes to, you know, do I go there, do I not? But the one thing that we have to understand, and Ray Farmer can be as blunt as he wants about the wide receiver position, but this is a scoring league. You know, and it's a league full of big plays and playmakers, and that is today's NFL. And we can potentially try to build it old school or our own way, but in some cases we're going to hit a wall where you need to be able to score. And we saw that at certain points in our season. It's like, yes, our defense grew, but there were times where they were giving up points, giving up a significant amount of rushing yards, and we needed an offense that had the ability to score, which at times we did this year. But to be able to do it week in, week out, you're going to win a heck of a lot more games than you lose if you can score a lot of points in the NFL.
Well, it gives you two ways to win a game. You can win by scoring. You can win by stopping the other team from scoring. And I think that certainly is important. I don't think you can reach in the draft, but this is a draft with good receivers. And I think there's a very good chance that the wide receivers available to the Cleveland Browns at number 12 will be of excellent value.
Yes.
And I think at 19 as well. I like the guys at 12 because I think if you can get a Kevin White, an Amari Cooper, or a Devontae Parker, I think that certainly helps you. Now, maybe you can trade down a little bit and still get one of those guys, and that should certainly be something on the table. At Spider2Y Banana says, do you feel there's any truth to the idea that Farmer is allergic to drafting receivers? Does he think they are important? This is one that I think is such an interesting one, because you hear what Ray Farmer says about wide receivers, and it seems to devalue them. You hear him talk about the Seattle model where they've got undrafted free agent wide receivers, etc. But if you also listen, as the general manager walks by the Cleveland Browns, Mr. Ray Farmer, if you also listen to his press conference last year after the draft, had the Browns stayed at 4, they would have selected Sammy Watkins. So clearly, he's not averse to drafting receiver. I know that he also had a huge, huge interest, and he loved Odell Beckham. I know that there were the Brandon Cooks. There were a lot of receivers that were strong on the Browns draft board, Allen Robinson as well. It didn't necessarily line up with where they were trying to get them, but had the Browns stayed at number 4, they would have taken Sammy Watkins. So that alone should tell you he's not allergic to taking a wide receiver.
No.
I think that, you know, at times from listening to him, you get the feeling that he's not going to take a wide receiver, that he doesn't feel that that's a position to invest such a resource in. But you know that last year, had he stayed at 4, he would have taken a receiver. So that says to me, if he feels the right receiver is there for the Browns at number 12, he's not going to have a problem.
Sure. And I think, you know, as you look at the full spectrum of Ray Farmer and his decision-making in trading down, you look, we gave it, and that's why I'm so hell-bent on knocking 12 and 19 out of the park by getting immediate contributors.
Yep.
You know, and not waiting or getting these project guys that have to develop in time. And I think the Browns Nation wants immediate contributors. They want to be able to go out and get a jersey of a guy that they're excited about that actually goes out and plays, which they didn't have last season, which is a huge disappointment and something that we'll have to wait and see. But you figure we missed out on an immediate contributor in Sammy Watkins, and that's why I feel with the pick at 12, through our hard work, we still were able to win more games without that immediate impact from the first round last year, win more games at 7 than we had in many years. And then also, too, we gained 19 where we can go get another contributor to bolster this roster. And it's a great problem to have to accumulate high-end talent. First-round picks, you know, are a dime a dozen, and yes, they're hard to hit on, but if we can go get guys that will play by the, you know, play like a Brown and do it this way and buy into the system, the next 3 to 5 years, again here, while we solidify that quarterback position, can be very special, and we'll be in that talk in the AFC North week in, week out, year in, year out, as opposed to hit and miss every 3 to 5 years.
And that's what you got to do, build from the draft. That's how successful teams do it, and that's what the Browns are going to have to do to get this done. Todd McShay has released his latest big board as well, so we can tell you where the people assigned to the Cleveland Browns fit on his big board when we'll do that as the show progresses here. Again, we had Mock Draft 2.0 from Mel Kiper out today. We want to talk to you about that, about the Browns, 216-578-0850. What do you think about the quarterbacks, Mariota and Winston? Are they worth trading up for trying to get? Now, are the Browns somebody with 2 first-round picks, a likely trade partner with the Philadelphia Eagles, in the sense that they can give the Eagles the ammo they need to go get Mariota, but can extract a lot out of the Eagles in return? Is that something potentially on the table for the Browns that would probably bring them Nick Foles, plus a bevy of draft picks from the Eagles as well, and maybe some more talent, young talent there? So that's something that to look at. That's something that's been rumored out there. I don't know if that will happen. I think from the Browns' standpoint, it makes a lot more sense to keep your 2 picks and maybe trade, if you're looking at a quarterback trade, a later pick to try to get a guy like Glennon, if that's what you're inclined to do.
Yeah, so you're saying give up 12 and 19 potentially, right, to Philly. We'd be only moving back one spot to we'd get 20, potentially Nick Foles and an additional pick.
Probably a lot of picks.
Yeah,
we would get Nick Foles. I would imagine Howard, that would work out. But I think you'd be set up for future years,
like a
drafts.
Third and a fifth,
a future first, sure. You'd get a future. You might get two future firsts. You might get.
Wow.
I mean, you'd get a lot of stuff. You're giving up 2 first-round picks.
True. But we're still my assumption was we'll get their 20th overall pick as well.
We'd get one back from them, yes, and we would go. It's just interesting because that they are a team that is rumored to want to get up there. The Browns have the 2 number-one picks this season, and they are going to certainly go ahead and try to use those and certainly better their team in the best way that they feel is possible. I mean, if you look at it, you could bring in some real talent that way. But again, I think that's speculation. I think the Browns, if anything, will stay where they are or trade back to acquire more assets for this team going forward. Also, we have to give a shout out to an RIP, Jerry Tarkanian, the former
yes.
UNLV coach, passed away today. He was unbelievable. Those UNLV teams, as my childhood, you know, Larry Johnson, Stacey Augmon, Greg Anthony, Anderson Hunt, George Eccles, those were, I think, arguably the best teams ever. Now, had they completed that run and beaten Duke that year, they probably would go down as the best college team.
They
ever.
Would have. And what's surprising is, again, in sports, as you look at the full, the broad, view now, is we had Ed Sable yesterday, I believe, if not maybe Monday. You get Tarkanian today. So now is who's going to be, and it's, they usually say deaths come in threes, so who's going to be the other, the legend, from somewhere in the sports world that's going to pass away, in the coming days, that's going to shock, that's going to be a legend in their own right.
All right, when we come back, let's get into it. 216-578-0850. We'll tell you who Mel Kiper Jr. had the Browns taking at 12 and 19 in his latest mock draft. Do you believe that the Browns should get a wide receiver? Some of you think that, you look at the Super Bowl and you say, how much talent was at wide receiver really for Seattle and New England?
Not much.
And yet those were the 2 best teams in the land this year. So I will say that certainly they had a difference maker on offense in Rob Gronkowski, who changes the passing game there. They also have Tom Brady, arguably the greatest quarterback of all time. So I think that receiver talent certainly can help. And interested to hear where you come out on that. Do the Browns go receiver? Tell you what Mel Kiper had him doing when we come back. 216-578-0850. It's Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. Cali, baby, don't you wanna rally again?